Now, without further ado, let me draw your attention to the text that we want to consider this morning, and that is verse 12. And we read these words in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Now, setting up a stone, as they did here, was not an unusual thing in the ancient world, and it was not an unusual thing in Israel. It was done in the ancient world at large, and it was done in Israel in particular. Jacob had set up a stone in Bethel to acknowledge the fact that God had met with him there. Joshua had set up 12 stones to mark the place where God had brought them across the Jordan. And then later he would set up a stone of witness to remind the Israelites of their vow to serve the Lord and the Lord only. And now here in this occasion and in this text, we have Samuel setting up a stone which he calls a stone of help. Apparently, Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, I'm sure you've read biographies of Hudson Taylor, apparently we're told this, that he made sure that there was always a plaque in each of his residences, which said, "Ebenezer, Jehovah Jireh." That is, the Lord has led us thus far, and the Lord will provide. Now that's a marvelous perspective on life. That's the perspective of a Christian. And if you're a Christian today, that could be and ought to be your perspective. The Lord has led us thus far, and the Lord will always provide for us as we move forward. And today, I think, is a good time, as you stand on the threshold and you reflect upon 50 years of history, 50 years of God's working amongst you, and as you reflect and anticipate what you trust will be God's working amongst you for another 50 years and years to come, it's good to reflect upon this text. It's good to reflect upon this statement. The Lord has led us thus far. It's God who has done these things. It's the Lord who has brought us to this point. And it is the Lord who will be our help as we go forward. It is the Lord who will strengthen and provide as we move into the future. It's helpful and necessary to think about these things. Now, as we do so and as we contemplate this text, I want to suggest to you that this stone, which perhaps had the word Ebenezer engraved upon it, I want to suggest that this stone does three things for us. First of all, it points us upward, and then it points us backward, and then it points us forward. We're going to think along those three lines then this morning as we try and understand the text and the implications that it has for us and for you in particular. So first of all, Ebenezer points us upward. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Let me emphasize it in this way. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Our text points us to the source of the victory that has just been won. It points to the Lord as the source of the victory that Israel has just won. I remind you of the background of this text. The Israelites had come through dark days. You're familiar, I'm sure, with the broad strokes of the history of Israel in this context. Israel has come through dark days. They have wandered from God. They have suffered under the leadership of godless men, men like Hophni and Phinehas. And these were days in which the glory had departed from Israel. These were days of oppression. These were days when the Philistines laid their hands heavily upon the land of Israel and the people of God. They had even, as we were reminded earlier, captured the Ark of the Covenant. The Israelites had used the Ark of the Covenant like a lucky charm. And as God had dealings with them and as God punished them, the Ark of the Covenant is captured by the Philistines. But then eventually by the power and mercy of God and the providence of God, the Ark is returned, but still the Philistines are oppressing the people of God. And so these are dark and these are difficult days in which the people of God are living. And now there comes a time of spiritual renewal. And if you read this chapter, verses 2 to 16, you see that Samuel and the people cry out to the Lord. And they gather and they seek the face of God. And the Lord meets with them and the Lord blesses them. And then in verses 7 to 11, we find that again the Philistines attack. But this time they are soundly defeated. And by the end of the chapter, what we are told is that the domination of the Philistines has been broken. And for the rest of Samuel's time of leadership, that's the case. And there's time of peace, and the oppression of the Philistines has been put to rest. Well, who has done this? Who has brought about this victory? Who has brought peace, and who has lifted the oppression? Well, verse 12 points us upward. And verse 12 says that this is the doing of God, and this is the work of the Lord, and this is God's gracious hand upon us. And so Samuel says, thus far, the Lord has helped us. The Lord did this, and we see that from verse 10. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered, and he thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. The Lord raised his voice, and the Lord thundered, and the Lord lifted his hand, and the Lord made bare his arm. God did this. Now, to be sure, the Israelite soldiers did their part. We are not hyper-Calvinists, and we know that the Bible says that God is sovereign, but man is responsible. And so we do things, and we act according to God's commands, and we fulfill the human responsibility that God places upon us as our Creator and our Redeemer. And so they did their part, and they raised their hands, but the Lord gave the victory. And so this text points us upward. And someone might have said, oh, Israel has won a victory because they did this and they did that. Or Israel won a victory because of some military error that the Philistines had perpetrated. But no, the scripture says, and this text in particular affirms, that the victory is the Lord's. And God did this. And they have a day of rejoicing because of what the Lord has done. Now, it's a universal tendency for us to claim at least some of the credit when things go well in our lives. When you play Scrabble and you lose, it's because you had bad letters. And when you play Scrabble and you win, it's because you have a keen mind and you have an extensive vocabulary, because you read a lot. And you don't just read novels. You read heavy tomes. And so the source of the victory lies in you. We do this at the level of games, and we do this at the level of empires. And so when Nebuchadnezzar walks around and he looks at this great Babylon, he says, this is the great Babylon that I have built by my power and by my might. And so the empire that you built, whether it's a business empire or whatever, the tendency that you and I have, not just with regard to games, but with regard to the little empires that we build, we believe that it is as a result of our ingenuity and our skills and our abilities and our stick-to-itiveness, because that's just the way I am. And that's the result. The result is this great empire. Samuel reminds us, thus far the Lord has led us. And if we have had success, it is because the Lord has done this. We read in Daniel that the Lord humbled Nebuchadnezzar. And eventually, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up his eyes to heaven. And he realized that if he had an empire, it's because God had granted it to him. He realized that if he had been lifted up into authority and power and great significance, it's because the hand of God had lifted him and put him where he was. It's not his ingenuity. It's not his military skill. It's not his brilliance. It's the hand of God. And so his eyes were lifted to heaven. He was humbled and his eyes lifted to God. And that's what this text does for us. It lifts our eyes to heaven. And it says, it's all of the Lord. The Lord has done this. And you need to look at your life. And you need to look at the circumstances of your existence. And look at all those things for which you are so thankful. And look at what has happened in this church over 50 years. But look also at what has happened in your life. And the good things. And the things which make you so thankful. And things about which you are so pleased. Perhaps you have a successful business. You have a business and, I mean, it's going well. You got a lot of money now. Bank accounts are fat and flourishing. Perhaps it's that. Perhaps your family is saved. Perhaps you were the first one in the family to be saved. And you know what? Now you look around, you got a wife who's saved, you got children who's saved, your brother and sister, and your parents also are saved. You look at that. Or perhaps you love your work. You know, you do work and God has called you, God's given you a vocation. And you love that work. You really enjoy it. And you know what? I mean, you're good at it. And sometimes headhunters come after you and they say, well, you know, that company, they want you. And you say, really? What are they willing to pay? And you say, no, I'll stay here. And you walk home, you say, they were after me today. Or perhaps, you know, there's so many good things in your life. So many things that are so pleasing and that bring such delight. And perhaps even as you look at your life, you realize that you've been kept faithful. And you look around and you realize there have been many who have made shipwreck of your faith. You've been a Christian for some 40 years now. And you look around, you see there are many people sometimes whom you counted as close to yourself. And they've made shipwreck of your faith. But here you are today. It's been 40, it's been 50 years, and you're faithful. And all these good things. And this text says, lift up your eyes to God. And realize that every good thing in your life is a mercy from God to you. Every good thing in your life. As a church, every good thing in your life as an individual, as a family, it's the mercy of God. It's the Lord who's done all of this. And you see, this is a stone of humility. Because it says, we have not done this by ourselves. This is not something that we've accomplished. It's the Lord. And as they had to look at this military victory and say, it is of God, you look at everything in your life and you say, it's of the Lord. He's done this. And you look at 50 years as a church and you said, I mean, it's the Lord who's done this. You can drive all around Southern Ontario and see church buildings where the saints of God no longer meet. It's a sad and a tragic thing, and it's indicative of the way things are in our country, in our land, in these days. And here you are after 50 years. It's the Lord who's done this. The apostle, 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, what do you have that you did not receive? So it's a stone of humility. I didn't do this. We didn't do this. It's a stone of testimony. This is all of God. The Lord's done this. I want to suggest that this should be a motto text for Christians on Facebook. Let me suggest it should be a requirement before you log on, before you hop onto Facebook and start parading all the wonderful things in your life before the watching eyes of the saints and the sinners. Before you do that, read this text and say, you know what, it's all of God. Because I do confess to you, I find it positively nauseating sometimes to read what Christians write on Facebook. The Lord's done this. So the stone points us upward. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. The stone points us backward. Ebenezer says, lift up your eyes. It's the Lord who's done this. And Ebenezer makes us look back as well. And it says, look and see what God has done. Look at this tremendous, this panoramic view of what God has done. I don't think Samuel's just talking about the battle. I don't think he's just talking about the battle because he uses very general language. I mean, thus far, till now, as the ESV puts it, up until this point, God has led us. Not just talking about the battle. He's saying, go back. I mean, just reflect. Let's break out the history books. Let's read. Let's reflect. Let's reminisce about what God has done. Let's just think big thoughts about the history of Israel. And I'll tell you that what you'll see when you read, when you reflect, when you think back, let's go right back to the beginning. And when you do, what you're going to find is this. The Lord at every step has helped us. All along the way. Let's go back as far as you want. Let's go back to the garden. And as soon as the fall comes, there is God. And he's ready to help. As per his plan and purposes. And right away, at the very beginning, at the fall, God steps in and says, I have a plan. And I'm not going to leave you in your desperation. I'm not going to leave you in this extraordinarily awful and tragic circumstance. God has a plan. Yes, I'm going to send... Well, we don't know much about him at that point. But I'm going to send someone who will crush the head of the serpent. And then you find, as you move on from the garden, you come to the patriarchs. And you find that when God comes to Abraham, he expands on his plan. And God begins to say, well, I'm going to choose you out of your pagan idolatry. I'm going to call you out of that. And from you and through you, I'm going to bless not just this nation, but my big plan is to bless all the families of the earth. And so you go back to the garden and you go back to the patriarchs. But you can also go back to Egypt. And Samuel says, now let's think about what God has done all through the ages with us. Go back to Egypt. And the Lord heard our cries. And the Lord felt our desperation. And the Lord stepped in and delivered and freed us and brought us out of captivity and bondage and brought us to a promised land. The Lord at every point was there to help. And you read about the judges. Let's think about the judges, says Samuel. Let's think about those days. Let's think about those dark days. Let's think about those days when, I mean, there's no king in Israel. Days when everybody does whatever they want. And still the Lord doesn't abandon us. Oh, still the Lord is there to help us and provide for what we need. And so when we are running from God and we're being idolatrous, the Lord steps in and brings judgment and chastisement. Oh, and then he works repentance within us. And when we cry out to him with repentance, he raises up a deliverer and the deliverer conquers the enemy. Oh, then we drift again, but God doesn't abandon us. So you see, again and again and again, and still, to this day, God has not abandoned us. God has helped us. This recent victory is just one more example of the way God is with us. It's extraordinary. I mean, their history is the history of the Lord helping his people. And then if you move from here to the rest of their history right up until the New Testament, it's the same thing. We can go beyond this circumstance because we have the whole of biblical history. And so we can look at the rest of their history the way they couldn't at this point. And we can say, you know what? The rest of your history is just the way it was up until that point. Read the rest of the history. It's the Lord leads us again and again. The Lord steps in and helps us. And so we think of Babylon, for instance, and we realize that as the Lord redeemed them out of captivity in Egypt, so he redeems them out of the captivity in Babylon. He brings them out with a powerful hand from Egypt. He brings them out again with a powerful hand from Babylon. And again, it's the Lord helping his people. And then everything culminates in the Lord redeeming his people from spiritual captivity when he sends his son. And everything that the Exodus pictured and foretold is fulfilled in the coming of Christ. And he redeems them out of Egyptian captivity. And he redeems them out of Babylonian captivity. And those two pictures are wonderfully fulfilled and culminate in the Lord Jesus and his exodus, where he redeems and rescues his people from their spiritual captivity. And so what Samuel said here was true up to this point. But oh, it would be more profoundly than he could ever have imagined true in the coming of Christ. My goodness, the history of God's people is the history of him rescuing them, the history of him helping them, the history of him not abandoning them, but providing for them, not leaving them to the consequences of their own sins, but rescuing, forgiving, restoring his people. He's always there to help. God is the great deliverer. And so you see, that's what this stone does. It lifts our eyes upward. It says it's not because of us, but it's the Lord who has done this. It makes us reflect as well. And reflect on the history of God's people to remind us about the ways in which he has helped us and always come alongside his people. And you can testify to this as well. You don't just have to go to biblical history. That's foundational. But you can look at your life. You can look at your history. And you can say, thus far the Lord has helped us. I mean, he's brought me through all kinds of things. And you can reflect. And you can remember. You can remember days when you were dead in sin. Not all of us can remember that, because some of us, by the grace of God, have been raised in Christian homes. And we can't remember when we were saved, but many of us can. And perhaps you can remember days when you were just dead in sin. You had no interest in God. You had no concern about the things of God. But you remember the day when the Lord made bare his arm and broke through into your life and plowed up the stony ground of your heart and granted you faith and repentance. You remember that day. The Lord lifted you. The Lord has helped you along the way. And you remember days when you were sinking beneath the waves of affliction. The Lord lifted you. There were days when the fires of affliction seemed as if they would overwhelm you and you would perish. The Lord brought you through that. You remember that. You remember those days. And you remember the days when you were, it seems, overwhelmed with the solemn responsibilities of parenting. And you had trouble with your children, you had trouble with your family, and it seemed as if the responsibility would destroy you. And God gave you wisdom. And God gave you strength to see it through. Remember those days. And you remember days when you were It seems as if you were being drawn away with bands of iron by the temptations of the world. Maybe it's because things were going so well and the temptations came fast and furious. And they seemed to come like bands of iron, but then the Lord drew you back with the bonds of love. And He restored your soul. And then you reflect upon your history. Maybe you take time later on today and you begin to think back and you begin to reflect. And you remember those times when your heart was cold and your mind was confused. It seemed as if your future was just profoundly uncertain. And maybe your friends forsook you and maybe you didn't feel as if you had anyone to turn to, but then you realized the Lord is your refuge and strength. And you remember those days. Maybe there were many such days. And the Lord was your portion. And so you can stand next to Samuel. And you can say, yes, let me add my amen to this. Let me testify to you from my own life. And say, just as Israel could testify that the Lord has led us thus far. And He's been with us every step of the way. And He's always helped us. You know, I can add my testimony to that as well. That's the testimony of my life. That's the banner I can spread over my existence. The Lord has always been there. And He's been my refuge and my strength and a very present help in trouble. It's the Lord my God. And then, you know, you can look at other Christians. Maybe you can, in your mind's eye, you can think of other people in this church, other people in this congregation, and you know their history. I mean, you've read their story. And you've been there with them in the difficult times, and you've been there with them on the mountaintops as well. And you know that it's the Lord who has done this. I can stand in front of our congregation at Trinity, and I can look at the people, and with every face I know, I know some of their history. I know some of their stories, and I know that they could say the same thing. And I know there's a lady this morning. She's not gone to church. She's a member of our congregation. She hasn't gone to Trinity this morning because she's gone to see her brother who is not a Christian, who's dying of cancer. And they don't know whether he's going to live out the day. But she's had a chance to bear testimony to him and tell him about Christ and point him to the Savior. And she's gone to visit him today and she knows the Lord will help her. And she knows that as He has helped in the past, He'll help her today. And so you and I, and the folk at Trinity, and these Christians here today, I mean, we can all testify. The Lord has brought us through all these things. And the Lord has sustained us, and He's strengthened us. And He's lifted us up. Because we've fallen. We're like the man in Proverbs. We've fallen 7 times. And I'm telling you, every time He's lifted us up. And there were days we didn't think we could put another foot in front of another. We just couldn't face a new day. And the Lord has given us grace. He's raised us above the trials and tribulations of life. And He's pushed us forward. The Lord's done that. Samuel says, till now the Lord's led us. Till now He has helped us. And there's a long chain of till now. And that long chain of till now has all kinds of links in it. There are links of mercy. And there are also links of chastening. All along the Lord has helped us and sometimes He's helped us by great deliverances and wonderful blessings. I mean, sometimes as you reflect, you remember those were days when it seemed as if we were living on the mountaintops. Those were sweet times and blessed times, maybe as a church and maybe as a family. And we were, it seems, as if we were dwelling in the heavenlies. Boy, they were great times. And sometimes the Lord helps us by great deliverances and wonderful blessings. And sometimes the Lord helps us by loving chastisements and necessary afflictions. And I do believe that I have learned more through my afflictions than through the sweet times. It's been more useful to humble me and put me on my knees. I suspect you have found the same. And so the Lord provides. The Lord is with us every step of the way, sometimes by necessary afflictions. So this, you know, is a stone of help. Paul says something similar in Acts 26:32. He's standing before Agrippa and he says, "But I have had God's help to this very day." You and I can say the same thing. Paul was raising a spiritual Ebenezer. It wasn't a literal rock, but it was a spiritual Ebenezer, he was saying. I have found in my experience the help of God every day and in every difficulty. And we can do the same thing, and we must. We must raise spiritual Ebenezers. We must tell people here, the Lord has been faithful. Have we deserved it? Oh, no. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's my testimony. But you're a pastor. Oh, yeah. Prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I've had days of backsliding. I've had times and times of backsliding. Very often in the midst of afflictions. Times that make you ashamed. But the Lord is faithful. In every step of the way, He's there. Do we deserve it? No, we don't deserve this. You look at this. You look at their words in verses 2 to 6. Oh, Lord, we've sinned against the Lord, verse 6. There's no sense of deserving. There's no sense of having merited. There's a consciousness. There's a profound consciousness of deserving nothing. So no, it's all of grace, it's all of mercy, it's all of the kindness of our God. So then, what does this stone do? Well, it points us upward. So we give praise to God, and to Him alone, and we take none of the credit. And then it points us backward, and we reflect with a profound sense of thanksgiving at the way in which God has led us, and that every step of the way He's been there, and now it points us forward. There's a reason for this stone. It's a stone that says, the Lord did this. It's a stone that says, all along the way, the Lord has done this. And it's a stone that says to future generations, all of this is as a result of what God has done. We want to remind ourselves through this stone. And we want to inform others, the Lord has helped us. Psalm 78, verse 4, we will not hide these things from our children, but we will tell the coming generations. Psalm 145, verses 4 to 6, one generation will tell your works to the next. That's why these people put up stones. They put up these stones, and then one day the children come along. And the children say, Dad, what's this all about? Let me tell you, right? I was waiting for you to say that. I was just with bated breath waiting for the day when you'd ask me, now I'm going to tell you. That was the whole point. Well, we don't put up stones. And maybe we write biographies. Maybe we write a little story of Faith Baptist Church. So that when some child comes along and reads a little bit of that, we say, well, let me expand on that a little bit for you. We tell future generations. And my grandson comes to me and says, Grandpa, why do we, at church, when you get up and you do this, why do we do this? Oh, I can't wait for that day. He hasn't said it yet, but, oh. All right, let's go to McDonald's, let's get a Happy Meal, and we'll talk. That's what this is about. That's what these stones were about. Occasions whereby we can explain to the next generation about the greatness of our God and the glorious things that he's done. Well, let me suggest this. If the Lord has blessed you, and he has, if you can reflect on your life and reflect upon the ways in which he has strengthened you and helped you as an individual and as a family and as a church, record these things in your mind, if not on paper. And take the occasions that come in the providence of God to tell others about what the Lord has done. And the idea is also not only to tell future generations, but to strengthen you for future days. Thus far the Lord has helped us. Thus far he's been faithful. And thus far he has kept his covenant promises. And Hudson Taylor understood what the implications were for the future. The God who has done this, the God who has been the faithful covenant-keeping God, will continue to be so. It's tremendously encouraging to reflect upon what the Lord has done. Because you realize then the God who has done this can surely provide for the present and provide for the days to come. Surely. So if he created everything, and if he redeemed out of Egypt, and if he stopped the sun, if he parted the Red Sea, if he brought them into captivity and brought them out of captivity, if he sent his son into the world, if he sent his son to the cross, if he poured his wrath upon his son, if he raised his son from the dead, if he's done all of these things, surely he can provide a job for you. You think? Surely he can help you face the difficult challenge that comes tomorrow when you go to work. I think he can do that. It's interesting, you read Romans chapter 8. And verse 32, he says this: he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he's done that, then moving forward, I think he's going to provide everything else that we need. So, look up, right? Look up, because the glory must go to him alone. But look back. Look back as a church, as you're trying to do. But look back as an individual as well. And look back as a family and reflect. And learn from that. Because now as you move forward, you say, wait a minute, the Lord's brought me this far. I do believe he's going to carry me through. May God be honored and glorified in your life and in your church as you look up and giving praise, as you reflect and marvel at what he's done, and as with faith you look forward to what he will do, all for his honor and for his glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We marvel that you are the God who takes an interest in sinners like us, and such a profound interest, demonstrating such an extraordinary love.
that you send and give your Son. And we know that having given him, you will give to your people all things. So, Lord, we magnify your name today. And we recognize that all we have is from you. We reflect with thanksgiving upon what you've done for us as individuals and as churches. And Lord, in light of these things, in light of what you've done in our histories, and especially in light of what you've done in your Son and on the cross, now we're looking forward with eagerness to what lies ahead in our lives and what lies ahead in eternity. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen.
Well, thank you, Pastor Carl, for that excellent message. So exceedingly encouraging. We had a savory meal, and we bless God for it. And I think that you can smell other savory things wafting up from the basement. So immediately after the benediction, hurry on down. We would like to get started as soon as possible. Just to make an announcement, I think that was for Gossen, that there is no evening worship service because of our providential dinner. And if you know that someone is missing, please pass that on. There's no evening worship service. We'll be going downstairs. We'll be sharing a meal together, and everyone is welcome. Everyone is invited, and believe me, there's enough and more than enough. So you join with us if you possibly can. We're going to sing Rejoice, the Lord is King, and then I'll close with the benediction. Rejoice, the Lord is King, hymn number 206 in the red hymnal, 206.
Let's stand for the last song. Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Mortals, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your hearts, rejoice, if not, rejoice again, I say. Jesus the Savior reigns, the God of truth and love. When he has purged our sins into his seat above, lift up your hearts, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say. His kingdom cannot fail, he rules over and heaven. The kings of death and hell are to our Jesus King. Lift up your hearts, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. He sits at God's right hand, till all his foes submit, and bow to his command, and fall beneath his feet. Lift up your hearts, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in glorious hope, Jesus the Judge shall come. and take his servants up to their eternal home. Lift up your hearts, lift up your voice, the trump of God shall sound. Rejoice.
May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maranatha. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.